Antifa's communist roots, violent tactics, and terror designation. Just after conservative influencer Charlie Kirk was publicly gunned down, authorities revealed that the alleged gunman left behind bullet casings inscribed with messages such as, "Hey, fascist." Catch. Law enforcement authorities said last month that they believe the 22-year-old suspect acted alone when he shot Kirk, but are investigating whether anyone else had a role in plotting the killing. President Donald Trump blamed the radical left for inspiring attacks against political figures such as Kirk. The far-left extremist movement known as Antifa has been tied to a campaign of violence and terrorism, Trump wrote in a September 22 executive order, 12 days after Kirk was killed. Trump designated Antifa a domestic terrorist organization and ordered agencies to root out any and all illegal operations connected to Antifa and to prosecute perpetrators and their financiers. In a related memo, Trump highlighted so-called anti-fascist rhetoric found on the alleged Kirk assassin's unfired rounds. Trump's executive actions and Antifa's clashes with immigration and customs enforcement in major cities are drawing more public attention to a once obscure movement that remains hard to define. Trump said Antifa has recruited young people to riot, assault police, and obstruct federal agents, while also trying to squelch lawful political speech. Members of Antifa have long argued that people they deem to be fascists or oppressors deserve no platform to spread their viewpoints, and that violence is justified if other silencing tactics fail. Alleged fascists must be stopped by any means necessary, the movement's leaders say, and the phrase has become synonymous with Antifa. Only mass anti-fascism, legal or not, can save us, Mark Bray, author of The Anti-Fascist Handbook, wrote on the Blue Sky social media platform on October 4th. Antifa's ultimate goal is less obvious and more menacing than that, Trump and others warn. The president's September 22nd order declared, "Antifa is a militarist, anarchist enterprise that explicitly calls for the overthrow of the United States government, law enforcement authorities, and our system of law." A trio of Democratic Congress members and others denounced the Republican president's order as an unenforceable, unconstitutional attempt to criminalize political opposition. Others pushed back against Trump's description of Antifa as a group rather than an ideology. People victimized by Antifa, including some journalists, commend Trump for taking action against a shadowy movement that arose from communist roots and became increasingly influential, well-coordinated, and dangerous. How Antifa started. Anti-fascism began as a response to Italian dictator Benito Mussolini in the 1920s. His National Fascist Party was named after a symbol of penal power in ancient Rome, the fasces, a bundle of rods with an axe. Fascists embraced extreme militaristic nationalism, contempt for electoral democracy and political and cultural liberalism, according to Britannica. In 1932, Antifascistische Action, a communist-led militant group that confronted Nazi stormtroopers in Germany, gave the modern Antifa movement its nickname and symbols that are still in use today, such as the raised fist salute. The Antifa movement persisted for decades in Europe before spreading to the United States via punk rock culture. By the 1980s, a group called Anti-Racist Action had risen to prominence in the United States. Later, it dissolved into smaller, decentralized groups. Since the 2000s, Antifa groups have grown globally, largely thanks to the digital age. Encrypted messaging networks have enabled Antifa to communicate privately and evade detection. Although the most prominent Antifa groups in the United States are situated on the West Coast, the earliest groups emerged in the Midwest, including far-left skinheads known as Baldies in Minneapolis. What is Antifa? Antifa, in many ways, defies description. Journalist Andy Ngo and others told the Epoch Times that's by design. "It's meant to appear as if there is no organization, but they are organized," said Ngo, author of the 2021 book that became a New York Times bestseller, Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Ngo, the son of Vietnamese immigrants who escaped communism, delved into exposing Antifa for years in his hometown of Portland, Oregon. After repeated harassment, threats, and beatings, one severe enough to cause a life-threatening brain bleed, No relocated to outside of the United States. When FBI Director Christopher Wray and others called Antifa an ideology rather than an organization, that description was correct, but incomplete, No said, because what matters is how people organize around that ideology. Antifa is the decentralized movement of autonomous networks, groups, cells, and individuals who follow an ideology of violent anarchism and communism, he said, adding that these people are united in their goal of destroying the United States and all of its institutions. He said Antifa often commits violence for the sake of violence and may randomly smash a local business as an attack on capitalism. Although the Antifa Torch Network lists 7 active U.S. chapters, no national Antifa group exists. And there isn't necessarily a specific shared ideology among those who label themselves anti-fascists, according to a September report from the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. That nonprofit research group, based in Wisconsin, tracks political violence and protests worldwide. Antifa attracts socialists, communists, and anarchists, but some Antifa adherents may not align with any of those belief systems, according to the report. Antifa members often wave black and red flags and gather en masse in all-black clothing, known as the Black Bloc, a typical German Antifa tactic to make individual members harder to identify. But even those visual cues don't reliably identify who is Antifa and who isn't, the report stated. Terry Newsom, a Chicago-area parental rights activist who became the target of Antifa death threats and doxing after he became vocal about school COVID-19 restrictions in 2020, told the Epoch Times that there are tons of Antifa wannabes, young people who think it's cool to associate with Antifa. He's also convinced that there are a lot of paid, full-time agitators, based on seeing the same people show up at numerous protests. Newsom said it would be preposterous for Antifa to have an org chart showing who the group's leaders are. Illicit operations such as drug cartels don't compile those or hand out membership cards. Neither does Antifa. An insider's view. Gabriel Nadals, a self-described ex-Antifa participant, wrote in his 2020 book, Antifa stands for anti-fascist, but the name is deceptive. Anyone who dares to criticize the group or its tactics can be labeled a fascist. In Behind the Black Mask, My Time as an Antifa Activist, Nadal said that many news reports oversimplify this radical movement. Anti-American sentiment is a primary driver of Antifa, he wrote, rather than opposition to fascism. While he participated in Antifa actions from 2011 to 2012, Nadal said, news outlets mistakenly reported that anarchists orchestrated events that Antifa had actually led. Rose City Antifa in Portland, Oregon, the nation's oldest continuously active group using the Antifa name, formed in 2007 to shut down a neo-Nazi skinhead festival, its website states. To explain the ideologies it opposes, the group wrote, "Fascism can be hard to define." The term has also come to be used to label any idea that is authoritarian, right-wing, or even just disliked. Rose City Antifa lists numerous stances that it may consider fascist, ranging from white supremacy to opposition of labor unions. The group deems a movement fascist if it embraces a majority of the listed characteristics. Militant opposition to fascism creates the social consequences that make becoming a fascist in the first place a lot less appealing, the group states. Rose City Antifa says it doesn't work with police or courts because we cannot count on state actors to push forward the cause of justice, equity, and community safety. Nadal said other leftists also commit violence, but Antifa exemplifies the worst of this dangerous ideology, which is becoming bolder and more prevalent in American society. Many politicians refuse to see Antifa for the violent movement that it is because they blindly see Antifa as an ally, since it opposes President Trump, Nadal wrote. Further, they fear that Antifa will target them next. Escalation during Trump era. When Trump was inaugurated as the nation's 45th president, hundreds of protesters smashed windows, blocked traffic, and scuffled with police in Washington. Some of the black-clad vandals were reportedly Antifa affiliates, according to the Anti-Fascist Handbook. Bray wrote that he rushed to publish the 2017 book shortly after Trump first took office, feeling an urgency to combat a resurgence of white supremacist and fascistic violence and the tumultuous climate of the Trump era. Trump's name is mentioned at least 85 times in Bray's book. Toward the end, Bray wrote, "Our goal should be that in 20 years, those who voted for Trump are too uncomfortable to share that fact in public." Bray calls the book an unabashedly partisan call to arms. Based on interviews with 61 current and former anti-fascists from 17 countries, the book argues that militant anti-fascism is a reasonable, historically informed response to the fascist threat that persisted after 1945 and became more menacing prior to Trump's first presidency. Bray decried an alarming lurch to the right in Europe and the United States following the 2008 economic crisis. In 2016, while Trump was running for office, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security, under President Barack Obama, began monitoring Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. Those concerns arose over violence at Trump campaign rallies dating to at least April 2016. In 2019, after Antifa activists attacked Ngo and others in Portland, Senators Ted Cruz and Bill Cassidy proposed designating Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. The proposal went nowhere. Antifa rises to prominence. Public awareness of Antifa soared during the summer of 2020. Members of the group sided with Black Lives Matter to protest against police and alleged systemic racism after the death of George Floyd, a Black Minneapolis man, in police custody. Rioters destroyed businesses, set buildings and vehicles on fire, and fought with police across the nation. Antifa exploited justifiable indignation that many people felt over Floyd's death and used the anger as a springboard to push their radical left-wing agenda, Nadals wrote. The core motivation was not to demand police reform and prevent similar deaths, but rather that the violence was targeted at destroying the private property of innocent Americans because Antifa hates capitalism and everything America stands for, Nadals said in his book. As Bray wrote in his book, even as times changed, Antifa's commitment to stamp out fascism by any means necessary remains intact and connects the movement to its earliest origins. Following Trump's recent domestic terror designation of Antifa, Bray and at least one other prominent Antifa adherent fled to Europe. Bray said he and his family no longer felt safe in their U.S. home. An Antifa organization that benefited from proceeds of Bray's book announced that it had shut down donation processing operations because of Trump's order. The International Anti-Fascist Defense Fund took the step to protect our donors and recipients, its website states. The group said it was looking to resume operations in a country not currently governed by fascists. What's next? Trump said that his administration, led by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, is tracking down who is funding Antifa-related activities, such as commercially printed signage. The president said those who financially support Antifa are going to be just as guilty as the people that smack people over the head with a baseball bat. Ngo said that some grants from philanthropic groups eventually filter down to Antifa, which also benefits from crowdfunding and donations from around the world. Some aspects of Antifa's apparatus have moved underground, Ngo said, predicting that Antifa will try to lay low, depend on the media to run cover for them, and hope that they get a Democrat in office again who will undo the executive orders. Obviously not view Antifa as a domestic terrorist threat. Ngo, who participated in an October 8th White House roundtable discussion about Antifa, said he hopes that his reporting provides insights that will help investigators. He also suggests that, if people accept that Antifa opposes fascism, they should also wonder what the group supports. What Antifa is for is violence, destruction, murder, and abolishment of the liberal democratic order, Ngo said. It's quite actually ironic in many ways that Antifa act as shock troops for people who claim to care about those institutions and values and concepts. Ngo suggested that rather than just listening to him, people should watch videos of Antifa violence, and you can see how organized it is, he said. Watch that, and then ask yourself, what is that in furtherance of? Jan Jikilek and Savannah Hulsey-Pointer contributed to this report.